You're listening to Underground Sports Philadelphia.
Now joined by Philly Fan Life's lead Flyers writer and Eagles guru, Brandon Summerman. Brandon, what's going on? This is Kyle, and we're joined by Dylan.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting to a point now where we are a week away from actually getting back into Flyers hockey that, you know, a lot of stuff is starting to come out because of the fact that we are a week away, and we're starting to see some plans now that what the Flyers are actually thinking about doing next Friday and Saturday at the draft. But we'll get into that as, you know, what you guys want to talk about. So fire away.
So my big question is, you had put out a tweet a couple days ago regarding the draft, obviously, where it was a rumor where the Flyers have multiple deals in place to trade up in the draft order from number 14. And you said they were linked to three guys. And they realize that a trade's the only one, the only way that they're going to be able to get one of them. Just give us some insight about that, what they're thinking with two of them being defensemen. Obviously, Dylan and I have talked about this, where with the defenseman thing, it kind of screams possible trade of somebody or upgrading over somebody that they may not have confidence in anymore. What are your thoughts on these potential rumors of the trade up?
So the tweet was mainly about, like, there's nothing set in stone. There's never anything set in stone. And, you know, the NFL and the NHL are kind of alike because, like what the Eagles did back when they got Carson Wentz, they traded all the way up to number two because they knew they had the chance to get somebody at number two. The Flyers believe that when the time presents itself during the draft, because the draft can change so many different ways by one team just picking somebody that nobody thought they were even contending to, and that could change up orders in so many different ways. What Ron Hextall has done, from what I've heard and the people I've talked to, is that he has groundwork set for every single team. I would say almost a good bit in the top 10, mainly in that 5 to 10 range. What that means exactly is the groundwork for a deal is mainly done. Because, as I wrote today, I released an article today about it, that when you're in the draft order and when you're in the draft process, in drafts you only have 10 minutes per pick. So it's kind of hard to get a deal set in stone if you're just starting going back and forth at that moment to get a deal in place. And what Hextall has done is he has laid the groundwork, and he has made it known to every single GM in the top 10, in that 5 to 10 range, that he is ready to trade up if the player that he wants presents himself in that situation. Now, like you said, I gave you three names that I talked to a lot of scouts about that the Flyers are really high on, and that is Noah Dobson, Evan Bouchard, and Brady Kerchak. And those three names are very in the position of need that Flyers need. Both defensemen are right-handed defensemen. Both defensemen are big minute-logging defensemen that could be top-pairing guys. And Brady Trocheck is just a prototypical power forward, just like his father was. And the good thing about all three of these guys is that if the situation presents itself, all three of these guys can jump into the NHL next year. Now, do I see all three of them getting into the NHL this year? It's all basically on the team they get with.
Yeah.
But like you said, about the situation with why they're defensemen, the main thing that I have heard from talking to inside staff members in the Flyers organization, their scouts and everything, is not that they don't believe they don't need a necessary defenseman. Is the fact that if the Flyers defense corp goes the way it does, they will have five left-handed defensemen and one right-handed defenseman.
Gotcha.
In the package they have now that they view is there. Now, that's not necessarily a problem. It's just the fact that that's a very lopsided way to having defensemen. It's normally you want to have 3-3 or 4-2. That's a bigger discrepancy gap. But the good thing about that is Noah Dobson and Evan Bouchard are both right-handed defensemen, which is a fact about that. Another thing that there was an issue is there isn't really anybody in the Flyer system right now that presents itself as a top-pairing guy to play with Provorov. Dobson and Bouchard are both that type of player that you can plug in with Provorov that can log 25-plus minutes a night that will be that type of player. So that's what really, I think, is the reasoning for them for the possibility of trading up.
Huh. That definitely makes sense when you lay it out like that. So you said, you know, they're trying to go through, obviously, you know, in the 5 to 10 range, because I personally believe that the first three picks in the draft are basically untouchable unless those three teams, being the Sabres, the Hurricanes, and the Canadiens, get a mouthful. So do you have any team in particular that you could see the Flyers, you know, moving up to snag their first-round pick?
I can't see them getting that far. And like you said, that is true. That is very true. It sounds like the top three picks between Buffalo, Carolina, and Montreal are set in stone. In some way and fashion, it's going to be Rasmus Dahlin, the defenseman from Sweden, then Skurgachev, the Russian winger, and then Sedinov, the Czech winger. But an interesting tidbit that just came out, I believe it was yesterday, TSN did their annual draft of sitting down with all their writers, and one of them had an unknown name. His name is Jasperi Kotkaniemi. He's a Finnish center. He's from the Finnish Elite League, and they had Montreal taking him at number 3.
Wow.
Now, that is the first time I've actually seen somebody other than the top three guys listed in the top three. And, you know, Kotkaniemi is a very, very high riser since the mid-season point. He was ranked 26th mid-season, and he's all the way into the top 10. I think his last ranking, according to the Keen scouting, was 8th. The main difference that he presents himself is he is the top center in the draft. And everybody knows the center position is the key position on your team. And at the moment, Montreal does not have hardly any centers on their team that they view are, you know, prototypical, you know, top of the guys that they can build around. And I think that is a reason why they're starting to get that look of Kotkaniemi in that pick area. And if that happens, then everything changes. Because then Ottawa sitting at 4 doesn't necessarily have to take a defenseman. They have a forward sitting there.
Yeah.
And then a defenseman that was supposed to go to possibly Arizona, who they're looking at, now will probably get a better defenseman. And that's I talked about this in the article, and it's one player can either make or break this draft.
Mm-hmm.
If everything goes to his plan, you can see everybody just falling in line, and that's not really bode well for the Flyers of trading up because there's not really a mixed match of players. But if some player gets picked higher than everybody has, it sets off an immediate alarm that all these teams now that thought they were getting a player can now get a better player, and that's the way players start to fall, and that's the way that the Flyers can trade up, because that means somebody that they like that is going higher will start to drop.
Yeah.
And then that puts the wheels in motion about, you know, everybody trying to figure out where the Flyers are going to do, what the Flyers are going to do. And if it can be possible, I believe the Flyers' best chance to trade up is 7 with Vancouver, because Vancouver has made it known that they either want picks or prospects in a deal back for the 7th overall pick. But they're really the only one that has actually offered that package. I have did research on Chicago at 8. They want an NHL established player back in any deal. Who's 9? The Rangers, that's going to be way too much, mainly because it's in division and they will hold the Flyers ransom to get into that position.
Of course.
Edmonton will probably be the cheapest, but that's really just the guy that will be left over. You're only moving up 4 spots. And then any Islanders pick, I really do not feel that is necessary because, first of all, you're only moving up a couple positions.
Yeah, two spots.
Because the Islanders have both 11 and 12, and it will be a king's ransom again because they're in division. So I really think if the Flyers want to move up, I think they're going to move up into that 5-7 range. But really, I believe the Vancouver pick is very in play if the Flyers put together a package worthwhile of Vancouver if there is a player the Flyers want sitting there except.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense now that I'm looking at it myself. I mean, with the Canucks being what they have on their roster now and what they have in their farm system, I mean, we talked about the first three teams. They're not going to give it up. And Senators, they probably won't give it up because, you know, as we've all been reading, they're probably drafting a defenseman to replace Erik Karlsson when he undoubtedly leaves via free agency or being traded. So if the Flyers don't trade up, like let's say the scenario happens where, you know, the player does not fall and the draft stays as is, you know, do you see the Flyers just staying put and then drafting two wingers?
Yeah, I do think it would be two wingers if the Flyers stay put at 14 and 19. But I could really see the Flyers, if they get somebody valuable at 14, like a Farabee, a Brady Hayton from Sault Ste. Marie, or Valtteri Kuzmenko from Russia.
Mm-hmm.
One of those three guys, if they get there, I could really see them trading down from the 19th pick, gathering something else either in the later first round or early second round, you know, valuable pick there. If you remember back to when they traded for Travis Konechny, the Flyers traded from 31 to 24, and they had to give up an extra second round pick with that deal. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at where the Flyers are at 19, if somebody wants to jump up in there, the Flyers can more than necessarily
trade back,
ask for a second round draft pick, including a first round draft pick, to go along in that deal. But they probably, if they could work out a good deal, kind of like what the Braden Shen deal was last year,
yeah,
they could get another first round pick. Wouldn't it be this year, it would be probably next year, if that is what the team would offer if they view somebody there. But I personally have talked to scouts and agents about this, that if 19, there's an interesting prospect if he's still there. His name is Martin Coot. He's a Czech forward. He's a big guy. I think he's 6'3". He's about 190. But he's an overager. And the main thing about that is he's had an extra year to mature. He missed the draft last year by only 20 days. So he's got a full year on the whole competition in the draft. He's been playing against pro talent for the last 2.5 years, and he's really developed, and he's really a two-way forward that has the potential to be a two-way star. He's got really good defensive presence, but he also can find the back of the net. But like you said, for that 14th spot, I really do think that there's plenty of talent that will still be there for the Flyers to get somebody of value at 14, because this draft is after those first three guys go, you could probably say from about 5-ish to about almost 20, there's a group of guys that literally can go anywhere from 5 to 20, depending on the viewpoint of the team. And that's how, you know, balanced this draft is after the top three guys go. But there is an interesting name that has been floating around recently. His name is Seren Noel. He's a big right winger. He's about 6'6", I think 210. He didn't really have a good season this year compared to what he did last year at the end of the year, and everybody saw this height. He was dealing with a couple of injuries, but he's a big power forward, and he really reminds me of Wayne Simmons. He gets into the gritty areas. You know, he does everything well for you, but he's a project. And that's the only thing I don't really see the Flyers garnering a first-round draft pick on a kid that's a project that may never turn out. But like you said, there's plenty of talent there, and I really do think that the Flyers will get somebody of value at 14 if they do stay there that can contribute to this team in the near future, because there was a lot of people. Charlie O'Connor of The Athletic put it out there that he has heard that if the Flyers draft Kritsov, the Russian forward, at 14, he immediately jolts to the top of the Flyers forward prospect list, even above Morgan Frost, which is kind of shocking for the season that Frost had last year.
Yeah, Frost definitely lit it up last year in the OHL.
Yeah, I mean, that was just what he did in his first year out. Kind of reminds me of what Giroux did in his first year out of the draft. You know, they're kind of very similar players to where they came out of, you know, juniors and everything. But that is a big thing that the Flyers really appreciated this year, that Morgan went back, worked on what he needed to work to, but he also stood out and became, because that is one thing that the Flyers tell each one of their prospects each year before they go back, is they want them to be the best player in their league each year. And you can see that with Carter Hart this year.
Yeah.
And you can also see that with Morgan Frost here. He was the best player in the OHL, and he got the award to generate that.
Yeah, I mean, the Flyers definitely have a bright future with some of the guys you just named. And now, I've been seeing reports, you know, whether they trade up or stay as is and draft wingers. Do you see potentially one of the first round picks being traded for a player, like a Jeff Skinner type guy, or, you know, someone along those lines? I'm seeing all kinds of rumors about that and trying to see if they're true or not.
Okay. Yeah. So that is actually a very key thing that is happening and starting to become more relevant over the past few years in the draft. You saw that with Corey Snyder a couple years ago. Who else?
The Coyotes traded for Derek Stefan and Antti Raanta with their first round pick last year.
Yeah. And last year, you know, that's becoming a more key thing with teams trying to get seeing value over a prospect. And, you know, that's something that the Flyers will have to look at. I really do not believe they will actually pull the trigger. But, you know, having that second first-round draft pick, you know, brings that into question. Because you could go to a team and saying, okay, I want to offer 19 for this player. If they come back and say no, we can just say, okay, here's 14 for that player. And then they say yes, and we still have that opportunity to draft a prospect at 19 then. So that does bring it into question. I have not personally heard anything, any rumors of the Flyers trying to get a player. I know that Jeff Skinner has been talked about. I know Dougie Hamilton has been talked about, even though he's a defenseman. You know, but that it will be interesting, you know. Nobody saw the Braden Schenn deal happening last year.
Yeah, it was out of the blue.
And that really came out of the blue. So you can kind of feel that, you know, Ron Hextall has that option in his back pocket. And if he does pull it out, it will be just like Braden Schenn. It'll just come out of nowhere and just literally fool everybody from what everybody thinks his plan was. So, I mean, that is an option. I do that see it happen. And, you know, I would love Jeff Skinner.
Oh, me too, man.
In the lineup. But the only problem is when you start to put Jeff Skinner in line, if you start to move some pieces around, you're starting to find some holes then. Because if you acquire Jeff Skinner, he would be a top six guy. And if he's a top six guy, you either have to take either Claude Giroux or Oscar Lindbaum out of that top six in the lineup. And then you could also even go to the right-hand side. You look at it, you either have to take Travis Konecny or Jake Voracek out on the top.
That's a good point.
So when you start to piece it together, you know, it would improve the top nine. It would just have to figure out where that top nine would go, mainly because the only thing of reason I say that is the Flyers right now do not have a top three center pool. It's really Coots and Patrick, and then after that they don't really have a set third line center. So if you're putting somebody with like a two-way center, you know, it's going to take away from their game. But, you know, it does improve your top nine, which you can kind of see. And I put out the name Riley Nash. I really like Riley Nash. I loved what he did in Boston this year.
Great
and
player.
He really excelled in that third-line role. And you have third-line role playing of, you know, possibly Oscar Lindbaum, Riley Nash, and Wayne Simmonds.
It's a good line.
A really, really decent and really, really above-average third line. A lot better than last year's third line. And then you just work out the top six, you know. That is a very good possibility, but that's the only thing I see, you know, if you acquire somebody like that. They really don't have the firepower to have three top lines at the moment yet, because I really don't think Morgan Frost will make it this year. He has to come in and have a stellar camp. He has to add a little bit more muscle to his body frame, but, you know, the possibility for him to be the third-line center. Also, Mikhail Vorobyov from the Phantoms, he's a big Russian. He's an assist machine. He's more of an offensive guy. That would be a key asset if they do acquire somebody that they improve their top nine. He might be an option for the third line center. But that was my mainstay when I talked about you know, they acquire somebody high profile, somebody that's already in the top six has to be relinquished from his top six role, and then he gets put into a worse position because they don't really have that third option of center that they can, you know, insert into that top nine. So that would be my only concern, but I would love for them to go out and get a high profile
scoring winger
to be in that top six.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess, you know, obviously trading for Skinner or a player like that would have ups and downs. So do you see the Flyers, you mentioned the third line center, do you see them upgrading that internally, or do you see them actually going out and getting a guy like Nash? Because I've talked about Nash to my dad and Kyle. Like, I agree with you 100%. He's a good guy. He had 46 points last year for Boston. He kills penalties, wouldn't break the bank. But I'm getting the, you know, sense that Hextall might want to address that position internally before, you know, free agency.
And then obviously the whole league's on Jonathan Tavares watch as well. So is it ideal to think that the Flyers are in play for him too?
I really don't think so. I really think that he is going to go back to Long Island. I mean, the whole Lou Lamoriello thing, I think he's just got a knack for bringing people back. And I really do think that, you know, Lou can say, I'm going to go get this guy and you can play with him. And, you know, I think he's just got all the playing cards available for Tavares, and Tavares will find a big, massive deal to stay on the island. But, you know, that brings up a very interesting point, because the internal options for the Flyers, you know, are there. It's just the fact that, you know, last year, and this is a big talking point between not just myself, but all the other Flyers writers that write, is why aren't some of the guys that are down there getting a chance up top? You know, Vecchione, Voriabov, you know, a couple other guys that are very vaunting of opportunities. But, you know, the big thing is Hextall wanted to play experience over youth, and that was, you know, one of the big main talking points and the big mainstays of why the Flyers did not succeed this year as they could have, because of that reason, because they were a more slower and physical team. And it's kind of interesting that a college coach that loves to play fast, that loves to play speedy hockey, that loves to run four lines, is now changing his ways to the NHL, saying, I want to play slow, I want to play against the boards, which is not the NHL style anymore.
Nope.
And it's interesting to me that the Flyers have plenty of options down there to help with this team, but they were not brought up at all. Like, Vecchione started out the season amazing for the fans, won the player of the month the first 2 months of the season for in the AHL. Then he kind of died off, but he never got an opportunity to show what he could have had. And the problem I see is really that if these guys weren't vaunting a spot last year over some of the guys on the Flyers now, I really think that they are not either in the picture or they were just waiting out for an opportunity, which is going to be presented this year. I really do think that there's an open spot on the fourth line for one of those guys to step in, and also on that third line. Like I said, Voriabov could step in and play that third line role. And I really do think that, you know, there is opportunities for those guys. But if the Flyers wanted to go outside, I really think Riley Nash is a good spot. Brock Nelson is another one that I brought up. Very, very nice guy. And the thing that I, like you said about the Tavares thing, if you pay one guy, you're going to have to pay the other guy. Mm-hmm. And I really do not think the Islanders can get Brock Nelson and John Tavares on the same page of having two high-profile guys, one making 10-plus a year. And probably, I said Brock Nelson will probably get $5 million a year. But I really don't think you can vaunter that in your lineup. So, you know, that brings up a whole different point that the Flyers, I believe, will get into bidding wars for a couple of these guys, and it's really the point that Ron Hextall, where does his cutoff line stay? Where does he feel that he got outbid? And, you know, it's a very key point that, you know, that if he doesn't, I really truly believe he'll go internally and let the Flyers play out how they is, because he knows he has high-profile guys waiting down there to develop properly and come up and be with this team in years to come.
Yeah, it's some great points. Another high-profile free agent is John Carlson of the Caps. Do you see the Flyers sniffing around there at all, or do you think... Because I'm not sure if Washington can re-sign him, given they have some already very expensive caps, you know, players on their cap, so...
Well, I think the Oliver Ekman-Larsson deal just, I believe, took the Capitals out of Carlson market, because if a guy like Oliver Ekman-Larsson is getting $825 a year, John Carlson should have won MVP in the playoffs, and he just won a Stanley Cup. And if his original asking price was $885, you can take that number from 9 to 10 now, and that is way out of the Capitals' money range. But I really cannot see the Flyers giving $10 million or $9+ million to a defenseman.
It's a lot.
That, you know, will be probably running the second power play unit because of Goff despair and, you know, different things like that. I really just don't think they have the firepower now that he won the Stanley Cup. He had so much success in the playoffs, and I really don't think that they could get into a bidding war and actually win with the money they have available because of all the guys they have to re-sign next offseason, like Konechny, Provorov, and guys like that. So I really think that Carlson having the offseason and, you know, the winning the Stanley Cup like he did, I think he priced himself out of a lot of markets, and he's going to go to the place that gives him the most money. I really do believe that.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. And, I mean, I obviously want Provorov and Konechny to be re-signed and Patrick, so signing Carlson would kind of, you know, hamper us and string that. I'm sure you've obviously read and heard many things about this. It's kind of been the rumor for, you know, the past several months, the whole Wayne Simmonds being traded thing because he's getting older and his contract's up next year. Do you personally feel Wayne Simmonds should be traded, and have you heard anything about him being traded?
So the only thing that I always say about Wayne Simmonds is who's in the pipeline or who's on this team now that replaced what he brings to the team. You know, his grittiness, you know, his Oscar Lindbaum and Nolan Patrick kind of took over his spot on the power play, so that's one thing that they've taken care of. But who brings that physicality? Who brings that grit? Who brings that, you know, hard on his chest, always on the ice, that type of player? You know, playing through this whole entire season with, you know, a pulled groin and, you know, all this pelvis injury, everything that he went through this whole entire season. Who is there to replace that? But, you know, it adds up equally around the team. You know, like, Konechny is really become a menace on the ice. You know, Nolan Patrick is not afraid to throw his body around. You know, there's guys around here that can take up his thing, but the only problem is Wayne Simmonds is making $4 million. He's a 30-year-old winger. He had a very declining season last year from prior seasons that he was escalating to get into a bigger contract. And he's on the other end of 30, so next year he'll be 32 by the time he starts the season. And that's a big turning point. That how are you going to give a guy $5+ million next year, which I really truly believe he will get? How are you going to give him $5 million when he's on the overside of 32 and in that range that, you know, after, you know, the age of 30, your body starts to die down, you know,
yeah,
you start
decline.
To lose production. Now, I can't really say that because Drew had a tremendous year this year, but everybody's different. But, you know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. If the Flyers, like this year, I really did believe that if this team did not come back the way they did, he was gone at the deadline. And I'll say it again next year. The Flyers, this season does not go the way they want, I truly believe he'll be traded at the deadline next year. If not, he might be traded at the draft this year. I do not know.
That's what I think.
I haven't heard anything, but, you know, if he does, you know, it's all in the viewpoint of what Ron Hextall wants to do with the team this year to set up the future Flyers of the following season, because that is the season that I think they're really holding on to, that is going to be where everybody's available. Carter Hart's going to be the net binder, and you're really going to have a lot of young Flyers in the lineup every single night that many people have not seen before, but they are the future of this team.
Yeah, it's some awesome points. I mean, like, I haven't really, like, with all the rumors, no one can really pinpoint what Wayne Simmonds' value would fetch in a trade. I think probably something along the lines of a first-round pick and a prospect. Would you agree, more or less?
I think if a team really wants him, you could get that. But I really do think that it all ponders on the value that you get back. Like, the Flyers could ask for, like, a more decent prospect, and I really think that would be enough value back. But if the Flyers wanted to go the route of having picks, building, a team to mainstay a team. You know, like how you mainstay a team is you know, like the Penguins right now. Once the Penguins get to a point where they cannot win anymore with their aging vets, they are going to be bad for a lot of years because they have not picked in the first round in the last five drafts because every single season they go to the deadline
trade away.
They trade away their first round pick because that's how they bring talent into their team. And how the Flyers have always been, and Ron Hextall has said this many times, is that he wants to build through the draft and he wants to be a mainstay through the draft, meaning that he wants to have prospects available any given time that he wants to, building through the draft. And you know, I really do think that a high-level prospect, or you know, like you said, a first-round draft pick and like a lesser prospect, will be a good enough deal to get Wayne Simmons done. But it's really on the generation of how big the Flyers view his role is going to be next year. If they think that he's going to be a third-line guy, not very necessary, you know, giving really up his penalty kill duties, giving up his power play duties, you know, things like that. I really do think he could be traded, but I really think that he's going to play a key role next year on the third line, helping out on many different occasions and many different opportunities with this team. So I really do think it has to deal with their play next year, and if it goes sour, I really think he'll be traded.
Yeah, it's a good point. I guess it also depends on, you know, if they were to trade him rather at the deadline, not the draft like you said, like also who they draft. If they draft like Noel or a power forward type player, you know, that probably looks bad on Wayne Simmons' part in terms of staying at the, you know, with the Flyers compared to if they draft a scoring winger or defenseman. You know, that obviously has more job safety for Simmons because no prospects in the pool that can really replace his grit and his, you know, style of play. There really isn't any other like notable free. I mean, there's some good free agents. I mean, we talked about Carlson, Tavares, Nash. I've been hearing Michael Grabner's name be thrown around for the Flyers. Do you see him as a guy possibly they could go out and sign or no?
Well, the only thing I could say is when you start to look at the free agents available, it's, you know, like Grabner. Grabner had a good couple seasons in New York on a lower-level contract. He'll get a big rate. And the thing that I keep hearing and I keep seeing from people writing about and, you know, talking about and what I've heard from scouts around the NHL, you know, a couple inside people that I've been talking to is – when will Hextall believe that this team is ready to generate more players that he needs to bring in to better the team that they can make a run? And, you know, I would love Grabner. I would love, you know, types of guys like there's Derek Ryan from Carolina is another name. He's like a depth center, but, you know, he's a very, very good, you know, he had an amazing world championship. You know, he's a guy that can be on your fourth line. That can be, you know, can play anywhere from any position in your bottom six role. But, you know, the real thing that I see is when does Hextall turn his mind from, you know, building through the draft that this team is ready to go? And I really don't think that they are at that point yet. I don't think Hextall believes they're at that point yet, which is the main reason why I say is how much money are you willing to give a guy that if you don't believe you're still 2 to 3 years away, how much money are you willing to give a guy that's going to fonder probably $3 to $4 million a year and you're only going to get him on a 2 or 3 year contract? So, you know, he would be a good stopgap, something like that. But that's the whole point of, you know, when does Hextall believe they are ready to go? And when they're ready to go, I could kind of see, you know, like kind of what Columbus did this year at the deadline. They went out and acquired guys that would help them now to see if they can make a push. They believe they have everything set right now that they can make a push, and I believe that when the Flyers get to that point, I can tell you that Hextall will be the first guy to tell you that he's going to add every position that he believes needs to be that they can make a long run of years to come instead of just that one push.
Sounds good to me. I think we've covered all bases. Brandon, first, you know, thank you for hopping on with us. You can catch all of Brandon's stuff, all of his articles and everything at PhillyFanLife.com. And you can follow him on Twitter at @PFL_B Summerman. That's SOMMERMANN. Hope to have you on again soon, man. Thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys.